Romans 8, 5 to 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
I have such debilitating anxiety because of everything going on that I literally wake up in the middle of the night with full-on panic attacks. Where do I even start? Everything is so horrible. It's hard to name one thing. I just think that the world needs so much love. You go online and you see everyone saying the worst things to each other. And it's hard to stay positive. It's hard not to get eaten alive by all the negativity. Those words were spoken by Kendall Jenner, the American model and TV personality. She originally appeared in the TV show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She is now also a model in the movement dubbed the Instagirl by Vogue magazine, or social media modeling by Harper Bazaar, where models are chosen for their online presence and social media following. Jenna now has an estimated annual income of $4 million. As of April 2017, she was one of the top 15 most followed celebrities on Instagram. She was also the world's highest paid model on the Forbes top earning models list. And yet she's not happy. Contrast verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How Kendall Jenner would love to know life and peace. She does, in fact, identify as a Christian. But she comes from a very complicated background. I expect most of us here today, whilst not waking up in the middle of the night with full-blown panic attacks, would like to know more of God's peace. How can we grow in this? Paul's letter to the Roman church sets out his fullest exposition of the Christian gospel. Chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Paul wants to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that Jesus has taken our sin on himself on the cross so that we might be forgiven and know that we're right with God. Paul is not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In this gospel, God gives us his righteousness. Jesus takes our sin on himself on the cross. God gives us perfect righteousness. And all of this is accessed by faith. The righteous will live by faith. We see this in chapter 3. The wrath of God is revealed against human sin, but there is a way to be saved through faith. 3:25. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Jesus is the sacrifice of atonement. Jesus is sacrificed on the cross to take on himself the wrath of God. We receive what Jesus has done by faith. We receive forgiveness and a relationship with God. And in chapter 8, we're given assurance that this is all true. We're still sinners, as chapter 7 makes clear, but chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, because of what God does for us in Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the foundational truth. There is no condemnation for us. Jesus has taken the condemnation of God for us. We are now free of condemnation. That's good news, isn't it? That is very good news. Verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. When God looks at us, he sees us as just, as righteous as Jesus. And the consequence of this is that we know peace. Objective peace with God. And the subjective experience of peace. Three things to say about peace. If we want to know peace, we need the following. On the backs of your sheets and on the screen as well. Minds set on the Spirit. Minds governed by the Spirit. And minds which please God. Firstly then, minds set on the Spirit, verse 5. The singer Adele told Vanity Fair, I can slip in and out of depression quite easily. I had really bad postpartum depression after I had my son, and it frightened me. She said, I didn't talk to anyone about it. I was very reluctant. Four of my friends felt the same way I did, and everyone was too embarrassed to talk about it. I think we should talk about it. It's great that people in the public eye are talking about mental health issues. It removes the stigma to some extent. There is, in fact, an epidemic of mental health problems in our society. It's estimated that 1 in 6 of us will experience mental health problems, and that includes me. Being a Christian doesn't make you immune from anxiety or depression or from more serious illnesses, but it does help a lot. It helps to know that God is sovereign. God is in control of everything that happens. And God loves us as a father. If we're outside of Christ, we're left to battle mental health issues on our own. When I myself was ill, a therapist came to see me and said, "Can't you use your faith to help you?" And the answer is, yes, we can. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. In other words, if we're not Christians, we set our minds on what the flesh desires. The flesh means our sinful nature. If we're not Christians, we're going to set our minds on selfish ambitions, on indulging our appetites for food, drink, sex, maybe drugs, or perhaps other things like acquiring possessions or having experiences. Many of these things are good, of course, but they need to be enjoyed God's way, not in rebellion against him. By contrast, verse 5b, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So there has to come a moment in our lives when we stop living for the flesh. We stop living for the sinful nature. And very fundamentally, we decide to live in accordance with the Spirit. Or to put it another way, we decide to make Jesus King of our lives. We will then obey what the Holy Spirit teaches in the Bible. We set our minds on what the Spirit desires, on what the Holy Spirit of Jesus desires, on what the Bible teaches. This doesn't take away mental illness, but it helps a lot. We've now given our minds to pleasing Jesus. So we won't watch certain TV programs. We won't read certain novels. We won't watch certain films. We won't visit certain websites. We won't give our minds to angry, negative thoughts. We will have experienced God's grace personally. And so we live with grace towards other people. We're set free from anger and bitterness. All of these things contribute to good mental health. Secondly, minds governed by the Spirit, verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In other words, we're all governed in our minds by something. Some people give their minds to vague forces, like ESP, or channeling, or crystals, or various forms of sorcery, or witchcraft, or out-of-body experiences, all of which are an abomination to God. God wants us to trust the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. When we do this, we experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives by faith, on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. What governs your mind? What governs my mind? If it is anything less than Jesus Christ, then I am governed by the flesh, by the sinful nature. Seems so much easier to be governed by the human, by the material, by that which is worldly. But it will not bring me peace. in the early morning hours of Christmas Eve 2012. Police officer Jennifer Sabina was gunned down while on patrol. She was killed by her own husband, Benjamin Sabina, an ex-Marine who was struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. Both the victim and her husband were members of a Bible-teaching church. Amazingly, both families supported each other through the funeral. It's a terrible story, which I don't have time to relate. What is remarkable is the difference which Christian faith has made to these heartbroken families. The preacher Stuart Briscoe made the following comment in the funeral. In meeting with both families yesterday, my wife and I were overwhelmed by the love and support that they extended to each other and the comfort they found as they suffered together. They hold no anger, no recriminations, nothing but love and forgiveness. On another equally positive note, both families expressed their unbounded gratitude for the compassion, concern, and care of the police who've been assigned to work with them. In the darkness, there are shafts of light. That's the difference it makes to be a Christian. Yes, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Give your mind to evil things, and your thinking will become destructive. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Why can that police officer's family offer such grace and forgiveness? Their minds are governed by the Holy Spirit. Their minds are governed by the Bible, the Holy Spirit's book. Their minds are governed by King Jesus. And the result is life and peace. Spiritual life and peace. When we come to Jesus for the first time, he gives us spiritual life. We are born of the Spirit. We become a spiritual person. We have spiritual life. When we trust and obey God, that spiritual life is reinforced and deepened. When we disobey God, that spiritual life is damaged. Our experience of God's joy and peace is taken away. The end product we all want is in verse 6. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. God calls us to trust him and obey him. If we really trust him, we won't be anxious. After all, he's in control. If we obey him, we will have a clear conscience. Our trouble is we find it very hard to trust and obey. But we must commit ourselves to the project. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. We all have to face a crisis moment. Am I hostile to God? Or do I love God? Will I allow Jesus to be my king? Will I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me through the Bible? I wonder what reasons you have for rejecting Christ. Sarah Salvinder is a research scientist in astrophysics. a lifelong atheist, Sarah came to believe that the universe was too elegantly organized to be an accident. Her parents were socialists and political activists who were also atheists, although they preferred to be called agnostics. In her testimony, Sarah wrote, "It's amazing that for the first 25 years of my life, I only met three people who identified as Christian. My view of Christianity was negative from an early age. Looking back, I realized a lot of this was the unconscious absorption of the general hostility toward Christianity that's common." So she began to focus on her physics and maths. She joined campus clubs, started to make friends, and for the first time in her life, met Christians. They weren't like atheists and agnostics I knew. They were joyous and content. And they were smart too. I was astonished to find that my physics professor, whom I admired, was a Christian. Their personal example began to have an influence on me, and I found myself growing less hostile to Christianity. Sarah then joined a group that was researching evidence for the Big Bang, and that was the turning point in her conversion. She continued, "I started to sense an underlying order to the universe. Without knowing it, I was awakening to what Psalm 19 tells us so clearly. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Sarah went from having a mind which was hostile to God to a mind which loves God. And we could go round this room and see the same thing repeated again and again. If we want to know the peace which only Christ can bring, we need minds set on the Spirit, minds governed by the Spirit, and minds which please God, verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So here, there is a realm, a kingdom. It's the kingdom in which the sinful nature is king. It's also described as the kingdom of Satan. Ephesians 2:2, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Those who are in the realm of the flesh are giving themselves over, are inviting the rule of Satan in their lives. Just let that sink in. Those who live in the realm of the flesh are inviting the rule of Satan in their lives. This leads to objective guilt before God, and therefore a complete lack of peace with God. Subjectively, this leads to mental unhappiness based on guilt. What is required is a conversion. We need to be converted, to change, to repent of following our own desires, repent of following Satan's ways. We need to repent of displeasing God, and we need to commit ourselves to pleasing him. Some of us heard Ray Ortland speak at Word Alive a few years ago. He said the following, "I try to drive carefully, but when I borrow a friend's car, I drive very carefully. I don't want to damage the property of a friend and return it to him all banged up. Even so, our bodies are the personal property of somebody else. The only way we could say, who does he think he is telling me what to do with my body, is by not belonging to him at all. Did he shed his blood to cover our sins? Has he given his spirit to make us new? If so, then we should glorify him, even in our physicality, especially in our sexuality. I am not my own. I've been bought by Jesus on the cross. I am not my own king. Therefore, I must be very careful to please my owner. Minds set on the Spirit. Minds governed by the Spirit. Minds which please God. How is your mind? Bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Allow him to dictate how you think. It doesn't solve all mental illness. We live in a fallen world. But there is an experience of peace which only those who belong to Jesus enjoy. That's my experience. And I commend him to you. Let's pray. Moment of silence, you may want to repent of giving your mind over to the things of this world, to sinful things. You may want to rededicate your mind to Christ, to thinking for him. You may want to become a Christian and say to the Lord, please be my King and my Saviour. Father, hear our prayers. Rule us by your Spirit, by your Word. May Jesus be our King. And may we experience life and peace, such life and peace that it will be attractive to the world and draw others to Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.